The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. Here we are on December 3rd, 2020. We're 1 month on from the historic election, November 3rd, just a month ago. Hard to believe. It's already been a full month. Quite a lot has happened in that time period. Yesterday, by the way, we had, I told you about the article, my father's article that we're actively promoting on Newsmax and some other sites. The Daily Express here in the UK, it sometimes picks up a few of our articles or talks about them. But the title of the Daily Express piece, this is from last night, Donald Trump Prophecy, Bible Preacher Claims Trump Will Remain President. So there you go, by Sebastian Ketley, who... seems a bit skeptical about the prophecies of Amos 7 and other passages brought out in my father's piece. But I will give him credit. He quotes from the article accurately and has quite a few quotes. The only bummer, I guess, is that he doesn't link to my father's article. So the ads that we have in Newsmax and elsewhere, of course, will send you to the piece so that you can read it. But the Daily Express is not, it just doesn't often link to us, even if they're referring to us or quoting us. So that was a bit of a disappointment. But when you think of, again, the way the world in general views the prophecies of God, even just the Bible in general, this morning I was reading through 1 Corinthians 2. We went through it a few weeks ago in epistles class. But the passage there that talks about the vast difference between a human mind that just has exactly that, the human spirit, but doesn't have the Spirit of God. And it says that without the Spirit of God, that spiritual things or spiritual truth is foolishness. It's just foolishness to this world. And that's the way they view the prophecies of God. There's other passages in Peter and elsewhere that talk about scoffers coming in the last days. So God's church, more and more, it's already standing out. In a lot of ways, it's standing alone, as I said yesterday. It's just a small group supporting this this message that's going to impact the whole world. Yes, indeed. So it's good to, whether it's positive or negative or anywhere in between, it's good to see that article getting some much-needed publicity. Well, speaking of the article and the prophecies of Amos 7 and elsewhere, Donald Trump gave a 46-minute address yesterday, updating America and the rest of the world, those that would listen. Of course, the media did their best to make sure it was blotted out. They boycotted the president's message yesterday, his speech, where he said it was perhaps the most important speech of his presidency. And of course, right on cue, CNN tunes it out. CNN just shuts it out. It's amazing when you look at, we have a lot of clips that we're going to get to later. We want you to hear these because, of course, there's this concerted effort to try to silence the president of the United States, of all people. But he was there talking about the pandemic and how that the radical left used this as a pretext to carry out all of this massive voter fraud. And what stood out to us as we went through the transcript is just how there's quite a few points in this speech last night that are actually in some of the things my father's been writing in the last few weeks. I think he even used the word pretext in that in that article in the January issue, how that they used it to change all the election procedures. They used this pandemic to carry out this massive mail-in voting fraud. The president said, we could say, let's go on to the next one, but no, we have to look also at our past. We can't let this happen. In other words, it's similar to what he said when he called in at that hearing in Arizona. You know, people have told me, and he's got pressure coming from even Republicans saying, you should just concede, just throw in the towel. And as he said the other day, it would be easier to do that. It would be easy to surrender. But he's not going to do it. He said the mail-in voting scam is the latest part of their four-year effort to overturn the results of the 2016 election. See, that's what they say that the president's trying to do, to overturn the results, as he's completely right about this. He's completely right. This is just the latest. It's like we said in the program with the rolling coup. This is just the latest attempt to overturn the results of 2016 and 2020. It's interesting that the president even talked about 42 European nations that in some way prohibit absentee ballots or mail-in ballots because they know it just opens the way to all kinds of fraud. And this, too, is a point that my father emphasized in his Trumpet article. He said, finally, and we'll play this clip for you later, if we don't root out the fraud, the tremendous and horrible fraud that's taken place in our 2020 election, we don't have a country anymore. And here again, who's told you about just how close we were to losing our country, even in 2016? But then God intervened. God intervened to save America. Well, as I say, I'll get to some of those sound bites, and you'll want to make sure that you stay tuned to listen to every single one. But I want to start with a Fox News story. This is from yesterday, and I was just blown away by this as I read through it this morning. It says, Georgia Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger. Now, you're familiar with this, right? You're familiar with the players in Georgia, Governor Kemp, Raffensperger. He's got the spokesperson, Gabriel Sterling, who goes out and speaks for the Secretary of State. But it says here, the Secretary of State, Brad Raffensperger, and I would add that the president has been just scathingly critical of all of them. They're all Republicans, and they won't get in there and investigate the voter fraud from November 3rd. So here's a story from yesterday. Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger has launched investigations into several groups, including one founded by former Georgia gubernatorial candidate Stacey Abrams, for seeking to aggressively register, quote, ineligible, out-of-state, or deceased voters before the state's January 5th Senate runoff. So this is we're 4 weeks out from this huge Senate race in Alabama, both Senate seats up for grabs. And right now, of course, you know the numbers. The Republicans, they've got 50 seats. The Democrats have 48. And so the Dems are there just rubbing their hands saying, we've got Biden now in the White House. And if we can rig these two elections, we've got it. We've got a majority in the House. We'll have the majority in the Senate. And then we'll have the puppet in the White House. Now, this is amazing to me that this same Secretary of State that the President of the United States is imploring to look into all of these irregularities. How much did Joe Biden supposedly win the state by? I think 12 or 13,000 votes. And here he's already getting all of this evidence. These people, Stacey Abrams and her organizations, and the words aggressively, that's in quotes. They're aggressively harvesting ballots, looking for dead people that can cast their ballots in the election 4 weeks from now. And then we're supposed to believe that 4 weeks ago, it was totally perfect. It was just perfect. Totally secure. Nothing whatever to worry about. It says Raffensperger's office on Wednesday. So this is yesterday. On Wednesday, said the investigations are into groups including America Votes, Vote Forward, and the New Georgia Project. Three groups, three organizations that are out there aggressively trying to illegally harvest ballots in favor of the Democrats. Well, they were founded by Abrams and some other Democratic Senate candidate. It says, listen to this, Raffensperger for weeks has issued warnings against efforts to register individuals who are ineligible to vote in Georgia's runoff elections or to encourage people to come to Georgia with the sole purpose of casting ballots. And then it quotes him, I have issued clear warnings several times to groups and individuals working to undermine the integrity of elections in Georgia through false and fraudulent registrations. I have given strong warnings, he says. That's from his statement yesterday. He says the security of Georgia's elections is of the utmost importance. Well, that's what Donald Trump's been saying. That's right. And if you've got proof of voter fraud, even 4 weeks before an election, what does it tell you about the election 4 weeks ago? The historic election, the most important presidential election in U.S. history. And all these commentators that would tell you, who was it that put Georgia in play? Well, Stacey Abrams, of course. She was bitter from her loss in 2018. She's got all of these organizations because, you see, the vote is being suppressed. That's the way the Democrats view it. The votes are being suppressed. So we've got to make sure every vote counts. Even if it's a person that's dead, make sure it gets counted. Well, now you've got these rhino Republicans that were just fine. They were just fine being pushed around by Stacey Abrams in the lead up to the November 3rd election. And now, understandably, you have all these Democrat criminals that are quite happy to move on to the next target, January 5th. And then you've got Raffensperger saying, well, hang on a second. I'm not really a huge Trump supporter. So let's get him out of the way. Biden will sort of restore some sanity, right? He'll kind of bring it back to the deep state. The swamp will be back in control. And then we can go on and we can win some elections and there'll be some rhino Republicans, there'll be some Democrats, but, you know, at least if the Republicans control the Senate, there won't just be this radical turn to the left. Well, now look at what's happening. Now he's getting a little bit concerned. Well, boy, if I don't do something here, they may just take January 5th as well. Who could have possibly predicted this? Listen to this. Raffensperger said Wednesday that his office has received specific evidence that these groups have solicited voter registrations from ineligible individuals who have passed away or live out of state. He has specific evidence, to which I would say, well, no, wait a second. There is no evidence of voter fraud. There's no evidence. No evidence. There's no, well, if there's a little bit of evidence, surely there's not enough evidence to overturn the results of the election. Now he's got specific evidence. Well, let's see it. What is it? Are they affidavits? Are they witnesses? Are they witnesses who saw somebody sign up a dead person? Well, as we've been telling you, that is evidence. But somehow or another, if it's Donald Trump and Rudy Giuliani and Lynn Wood and Sidney Powell and Jenna Ellis and the other lawyer, their affidavits, their witnesses, they don't matter. They don't count. They're not, it's not real. There was a hearing yesterday in Michigan, another one, all these witnesses coming forward And this poor woman who's just giving her testimony based on an affidavit, there's a Democrat congresswoman who speaks up and says, Mr. Speaker, I think that they should all be sworn under oath here because they're lying. These people are lying. And the woman, the witness said, look, I'm not lying. I would say the same thing. If you woke me up in the middle of the night, I'd say the same thing. And then Rudy Giuliani spoke up and said, well, just so that you know, well, for one, the woman said, I'd be fine to swear under oath. And then Rudy Giuliani spoke up and said, they may not be under oath at this hearing, but all of these witnesses have signed affidavits under the threat of perjury if they're lying. So here are these witnesses being badgered by Democrats, and then we're left to wonder, did they really get intimidated when they were in the counting centers? They're being intimidated in the hearings. They're being doxxed. They're being threatened. Think about those two poll worker officials from Wayne County. They were being threatened publicly. Yeah, what's your address? There was another question yesterday. This woman says, what's your name? Yeah, and your middle name? And what's your maiden name? She's just getting this witness to reveal everything about her personal information. They're totally doxing these people, hoping that they'll be harassed, hoping that they'll be threatened. So here is, now the tables have turned, you see, and Raffensperger has specific evidence of voter fraud. For what? January 5th. Well, what about November 3rd? That was perfect. It says here, I will investigate these claims thoroughly and take action against anyone attempting to undermine our elections. If only he would do that in reverse. That's like President Trump has said, I'm not going to look forward. I'm going to look back at these last few weeks and we're going to expose this fraud. But all of these people now saying, look, it's over, it's done. The media have anointed you. They've anointed Biden. Just concede. It says, Raffensperger said earlier this week that America Votes is sending absentee ballot applications to people at addresses where they have not lived since 1994. You want to know how we know there was massive voter fraud in Georgia 4 weeks ago? Because of this right here. They're already doing it for the election 4 weeks ahead of us. By your fruits, you shall know them. That's what Jesus Christ said. You look at the fruits. People will say, well, but it's circumstantial and you're kind of connecting dots. Where's the direct evidence? Well, look at the fruits. He says in this Fox article, I've received specific evidence. It says here, vote forward, he said. These are all quotes from Raffensperger, the Secretary of State of Georgia, the same man who has resisted the President of the United States, the same man who says, it's over. There's no fraud here. You lost. We recounted everything. You lost. It's the same man, if you can believe it. Vote forward, he said, attempted to register a dead Alabama voter, a woman, to vote here in Georgia. That's quoting Raffensperger. He also spotlighted the New Georgia Project, who sent voter registration applications to New York City. Can you believe this? And we're supposed to just go along with the hoax that Joe Biden got 81 million votes. 81 million. I just told you yesterday about this USPS truck driver who brought in hundreds of thousands of votes from New York to Pennsylvania. Then the trailer disappears, so who knows where those ballots went to? They might have gone all over the country. Crossing state lines. I mean, that's some kind of ballot harvesting. You know what? The speech that President Trump gave yesterday, this was just an ordinary article about, you know, lesser level fraud that's in a Senate campaign coming up in a month. Now, the president on the grand stage, he gets blotted out. He gets censored. He's silenced. And you know what he said yesterday in his speech? This is a quote from him. The corrupt forces who are registering dead voters and stuffing ballot boxes are the same people who have perpetrated one phony and fraudulent hoax after another. He talks about the dead voters being registered and stuffing the ballot. The same things that Raffensperger has direct evidence of for the January 5 election. But nothing, we're told, nothing improper or illegal happened in the election a month ago. That was all perfect. Here's the Secretary of State, Brad Raffensperger. I believe this is from yesterday. This is him talking not about the January 5 election. You get that in the Fox piece. But this is him talking about the November 3rd election, clip one.
And our investigators have seen no widespread fraud either. Even after this office request that President Trump try and quell the violent rhetoric being born out of his continuing claims of winning the states where he obviously lost, he tweeted out, "Expose the massive voter fraud in Georgia." This is exactly the kind of language that is at the base of growing threat environment for election workers who are simply doing their jobs.
What kind of language? Did you get that? What kind of language is putting the election officials under threat? Threats of violence? He quotes Donald Trump saying, "Expose the massive voter fraud in Georgia." Well, by that same standard, some of the quotes in that Fox piece I just read to you, those could be seen as threats. Maybe Stacey Abrams is just doing her job. Why don't you leave her alone? Show us the evidence. There's no evidence of fraud. See, I'm just playing along. This is in the same week. The same week that he's there, he's saying President Trump needs to cool off the rhetoric. He shouldn't be saying things like, there's massive voter fraud. We've conducted investigations. Everything's fine. There's nothing wrong with the one we just had. But well, there is, I guess, with the one that's upcoming. Expose the massive voter fraud. This is what qualifies as violent rhetoric. Has he been observing anything the last 4 years? The people that were, you know, putting up an assassination or a decapitation of the president on the theater stage or in the parks or on Twitter. Mark Zaid, he's the famous left-wing attorney. Right after President Trump came into office, the coup has started. First of many steps. Hashtag rebellion. Hashtag impeachment will follow ultimately. The Lincoln Project recently. Here are two attorneys attempting to help Trump overturn the will of the Pennsylvania people. Make them famous. In other words, harass them. Harass them. Threaten them if you have to. This is why some of the attorneys in Pennsylvania quit soon after November 3rd, because they were coming under threat. Think about those two Republicans on that election board in Wayne County, as I said. They had their names plastered all over the place after that Zoom call where they just said, look, we're not going to vote for certification. And then immediately you have people saying where they live, where their kids go to school. But for the president to tweet that there's massive voter fraud, that is over the top. Listen to Raffensperger's spokesperson. This is Gabriel Sterling. He's, I guess there was a commentator on TV that said Raffensperger should be shot for treason. And that's what really set this man off. Someone else, evidently a counter of some kind. There was a comment, a derogatory comment made toward them. So here now, if it's aimed at them, that's something they will not tolerate. This is Gabriel Sterling from a couple days ago, clip two.
I'm going to do my best to keep it together because it has all gone too far. All of it. It has to stop. Mr. President, you have not condemned these actions or this language.
It has to stop, he said. And again, the blame is on the president, first and foremost. But what a... That's some pretty good theater, by the way. He's giving Andrew Cuomo a run for his money. Cuomo better be careful, because he's going to lose his Emmy next year to that man. Here they are. Here they are. And these are individuals that will not... They will not even give a proper recount. They will not even allow for an audit. They won't even allow for an investigation. No wonder there's some fiery rhetoric coming from the Trump campaign. Now, again, people say things and take things too far all the time on both sides. There's no doubt about that. But the selective outrage here and the selective investigations as well. Newt Gingrich, in speaking about Georgia yesterday on Fox, he said this, clip three.
And Georgia is just as bad as the rest of them. These various ballot boxes that the Secretary of State has been distributing have no record of when the ballots were taken out, who took them out, how they were handled. I mean, this stuff is an invitation to theft. And it's appalling to me to have a Republican Secretary of State like Raffensperger, who's clearly so thoroughly intimidated by Stacey Abrams, that the things he's doing guarantee the easiness of stealing an election.
Yeah, he's exactly right. This Secretary of State has just been pushed around by Stacey Abrams. And now he's wondering, oh boy, if I'm not careful here, she may just steal the two Senate races as well. That's what's happening. This is from that Fox News story. Raffensperger's office also has 23 investigators working on 250 open investigations into credible claims of illegal voting and election law violations, he said. This is not for November 3. This is for January 5. He's got 250 open investigations. He's got 23 investigators looking into this. If only the presidential campaign could have gotten some of that attention. Finally, it says Raffensperger's office referenced one Fulton County resident who reported receiving 5 postcards from the new Georgia project soliciting a registration for the same dead person, and a Cherokee County resident who received a voter registration solicitation from the new Georgia project for his spouse, who is ineligible to vote. A third person, according to Raffensperger's office, see, they're really investigating this. They got examples. They got evidence, right? They have evidence. He said the new Georgia project sent a voter registration solicitation to his daughter, who is not registered to vote in Georgia and had not lived in a different state for 5 years, while a fourth individual reported receiving a package of postcards at her home in New York City from the New Georgia Project, encouraging people to register to vote in the Georgia Senate runoffs. Encouraging New Yorkers to go ahead and vote in the Georgia Senate runoffs. See, if you live outside the United States, I'll just fill you in on a little bit of illegal activity when it comes to votes. If you're voting for a senator in Georgia, you have to live in Georgia. You have to be a Georgian. You can't be a New Yorker. So they're sending these ballots out all over the country saying, hey, why don't you sign up? And, you know, you can pretend you have an address in Georgia. Got a dead relative? Anybody else we can put a name on a card? And yet we're supposed to believe that everything a month ago was just perfect. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to email the program, you can send comments to td@kpcg.fm. When we come back, we've got all of the clips from President Trump's speech yesterday. So stay with us. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Freedom is one of the most sought-after ideals in human history. Man's search for freedom has taken him into the fiercest of protests, struggles, revolutions, civil wars, and even world wars. Today, in the midst of free societies, many continue to fight for what they perceive as ever greater freedoms. And yet, many of these same people are actively fighting against law. Few people understand that this war against law actually undermines true freedom. To learn more, request Gerald Flurry's booklet, No Freedom Without Law. In this free booklet, you will see what the Bible says about the latter-day spirit of rebellion and lawlessness that is now so common in our nations today. Also request America Under Attack. In this booklet, you will learn more about the spirit behind this attack on law. You'll see where this is leading. Both booklets are offered freely at no cost or obligation to you. Request No Freedom Without Law and America Under Attack. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com. From the Philadelphia Church of God campus in Edstone, England, this is the Trumpet Daily Program with Stephen Flurry.
This may be the most important speech I've ever made. For months leading up to the presidential election, we were warned that we should not declare a premature victory. We were told repeatedly that it would take weeks, if not months, to determine the winner, to count the absentee ballots, and to verify the results. My opponent was told to stay away from the election. Don't campaign. We don't need you. We've got it. This election is done. In fact, they were acting like they already knew what the outcome was going to be. They had it covered, and perhaps they did, very sadly for our country. It was all very, very strange. Within days after the election, we witnessed an orchestrated effort to anoint a winner, even while many key states were still being counted.
That's from President Trump's address yesterday at the White House. He says there, well, to begin with, this is perhaps the most important speech I've ever given. And think of it, the news media, they blot it out. They pretend it didn't happen. They ridicule it. They mock it without even giving him voice, without even giving him any kind of a platform. But as he goes back over the months leading up to the election, he says it was as if they were acting like they already knew what the outcome would be. And in fact, as we've covered on this program, they were telling us exactly how it would play out. This from a media that's just getting, they're known for getting it wrong over and over and over. And yet on this point, they got it exactly right. At least they got the narrative right and how it would play out right, because they knew their strategy. They knew their only hope was to steal the election. And so they knew there'd be a lot of strange things that go on in order to steal it. So they were out there saying ahead of time, now, America, just make sure that you know this is the way it's going. It's never been like this before, so we need to get prepared. This is how it's going to happen. A few weeks ago, I played this clip from Cheryl Atkinson, who made this same point. This is clip 16.
But one thing that should make us suspicious is, to me, we were primed for the scenario. A lot of pundits and analysts that were wrong about virtually everything else were right about one thing, uncannily, that months ago they said, or they knew, that on election day that Trump would appear to win the election, but they called it a red mirage. They said that that would fade away as the votes were counted. Well, now when you hear that, you say, that sounds reasonable. We knew that was coming. But if we hadn't been primed to accept that that would be the case, it would be very suspicious to us.
Yeah, it would. And you, even the montages we've been playing for you from those various cities, even the commentator, for as much as they knew, okay, yeah, it's going to be the Red Mirage, and then it's probably going to take a few days. But even there, there were weird things happening, and some of these commentators that were silent or kind of smirking a little bit or wondering what's going on. You heard Brett Baer, I believe it is. Well, they knew there was an election tonight, right? The ballot dump's supposed to be at 3 a.m., then at 5 a.m., then you had the fake pipe burst in Atlanta. You had all these big cities calling in saying, we're going to have to take a break. We're going to have to stop counting. And then the reporter's joking. Well, I mean, they need to get sleep like we do. After all, there's an election almost every 4 years. All kinds of strange things, and yet we were primed for the scenario that don't dare declare victory early, because the Red Mirage will soon fade away. That was about a month. What was it? A month, 2 months before the election with Axios, and then the New York Times picked it up. Yeah, here's the experts. You know the experts, the ones that always get it right. Here come the experts talking about the Red Mirage on election night. Here again, as a reminder, here's clip 17.
The reason we talk about a Red Mirage is, in fact, because we believe that on election night, we are going to see Donald Trump in a stronger position than the reality actually is. We are sounding an alarm and saying that this is a very real possibility, that the data is going to show on election night an incredible victory for Donald Trump.
An incredible victory. Now, how could this be? If the polls all said that Biden was going to win in a landslide, right? Remember that? Remember the Wisconsin poll? The Washington Post Wisconsin poll just a few days before the election that Biden was ahead by 17 points. So you have the polls on the one hand, and then you have these experts coming along saying, well, now it'll look like a red mirage to begin with. But that's where you just got to be patient. You've got to wait it out because, you know, we've got those plans, the USPS trucks, the boxes of ballots, all the things that will come in at the last minute, depending on, of course, first, the figures. We'll need to know just how much. We'll need to know just how many we need to process. We had a program back in September 3rd, 2 months before the election. We titled it the Dems' Last Hope, Steal the Election. This was their last hope. This was what they were forecasting with this Red Mirage strategy. Here's Axios again, clip 18.
When every legitimate vote is tallied and we get to that final day, which will be someday after Election Day, it will in fact show that what happened on election night was exactly that, a mirage. It looked like Donald Trump was in the lead. And he fundamentally was not when every ballot it gets counted.
Wow. I mean, he really was pretty confident. This is just, I guess, I don't know, what is he, a data analyst or something? I don't think he was a pollster. But he's saying, he basically said there that the data would show Donald Trump was ahead and that Biden would win. How could they know this? It's like President Trump said yesterday. It's almost as if they knew what the outcome was going to be. Here's more from the president's speech yesterday, clip 7.
While it has long been understood that the Democrat political machine engages in voter fraud from Detroit to Philadelphia to Milwaukee, Atlanta, so many other places, what changed this year was the Democrat Party's relentless push to print and mail out tens of millions of ballots sent to unknown recipients with virtually no safeguards of any kind. This allowed fraud and abuse to occur on a scale never seen before. Using the pandemic as a pretext, Democrat politicians and judges drastically changed election procedures just months, and in some cases, weeks before the election, on the 3rd of November.
As I was saying at the start of the show, lots of things from that speech yesterday that we've actually had at thetrumpet.com. They're in my father's articles, or similar language anyway. Here's an example from Why Donald Trump Will Remain America's President. My father says, Democrats have used the coronavirus pandemic as a pretext to encourage as much mail-in voting as possible, and even to extend deadlines past Election Day, I truly believe they did that to enable themselves to steal this election, and I say that without apology. Look at what they're already going on and doing in Georgia for the Senate runoff in January. I read that to you in the first segment. It's so obvious, and the world knows it. This is why they don't allow it. I'm getting ahead of myself, but the president addresses this later on in his speech. This is why most nations in Europe, they don't have mail-in ballots, because it just opens the floodgates for fraudulent activity. But I mean, the Democrats, they think they're on a roll. That's why they're contacting New York residents saying, hey, you want to vote in Georgia? Now Stacey Abrams is being investigated by, of all people, Brad Raffensperger. That's astounding. They have a long history, my father says, of using voter fraud to sway elections. There's a long history of this in Detroit, in Philadelphia, in Atlanta. And that Republican activist that I played a clip from yesterday, Dr. Travers, I think her name was. She's right there in Michigan, or she was for, I think, almost three decades. And she just saw it happen over and over again in the big cities. And no one ever did anything about it. There's a dirty little secret in politics in the United States that if you're a Republican, well, you just need to win by 2 or 3 percentage points, because there's going to be at least that much in the way of fraud coming from the other side. But what they pulled off this time, sending out tens of millions of ballots all over the place, well, that just opened up. It allowed, as the president said, it allowed for fraud and abuse to occur on a scale never seen before. And you know what's amazing here is that the rest of the, you think China doesn't know what's going on, or Russia, or some Eastern European nations, or some communist nations in Central and South America, or some nations in Africa under the rule of an authoritarian or a tyrant? Do you think they believe this was the most secure election in history? It's astounding to me that the ones selling that, it's the propaganda media in the United States and here in the UK. And there's at least half, I don't know about here, but there certainly is at least half in the US. They know what's happened. And truthfully, the other half knows as well. They're just keeping quiet with a little smirk on their face right now. They know. They know they're about to get away with it. That's what they think. God has some other ideas. Here's President Trump again from yesterday, clip 8.
This colossal expansion of mail-in voting opened the floodgates to massive fraud. The Democrats had this election rigged right from the beginning. They used the pandemic, sometimes referred to as the China virus, where it originated, as an excuse to mail out tens of millions of ballots, which ultimately led to a big part of the fraud, a fraud that the whole world is watching. And there is no one happier right now than China.
He's right. He's right. You think China's happy to have the Biden family back in action, back in business, open for business? How did the Biden family get so wealthy? I know he's been in politics for decades, but the salary for a senator, and then the 8 years before President Trump came along as vice president. I don't know what the salary of a vice president is, but it's not, I'm sure it's not just chicken feed, but it's, is it enough to just have, to be rolling in millions and millions, tens of millions, perhaps hundreds of millions? Well, let's not get too close to the Hunter Biden laptop, because that's supposed to be blotted out as well. That's ancient history. I mean, if you think it seems like a long time ago that the U.S. election happened, well, Hunter Biden and that laptop and Tony Bobulinski, that's ancient history. That's almost like Roman history. It's so far back. Here's the president talking about other nations, Western nations, that just simply don't allow mail-in balloting, at least not on this mass scale like we saw on November 3rd, clip 13.
Many European countries have instituted major restrictions on mail-in voting specifically because they recognize the nearly unlimited potential for fraud. Out of 42 European nations, all but two prohibit absentee ballots entirely for people who reside inside the country, or else they require those who need absentee ballots to show a very, very powerful ID.
Now, I forget which article we were drawing on when we made this point at thetrumpet.com, and then my father made it, but perhaps the Trump campaign team and our staff here, our news gatherers here, are reading some of the same sources. But this is from my father's piece. Mail-in ballots open the door for terrible fraud. Did you know that among the 27 countries in the European Union, 17 ban mail-in voting except for very rare cases? They know how susceptible each ballot, such ballots are to fraud, I should say. Yet Democrats have used the coronavirus pandemic as a pretext. Here's the bit I gave you earlier. They've used it as a pretext to encourage as much of this mail-in voting as possible. Further on, my father says this, just to segue into the next soundbite. He says, a great deal of disturbing evidence has been emerging of voter irregularities and fraud, and it always favors Joe Biden. See, it always flows in the direction of the Biden campaign. Yet many Republicans and supposedly impartial journalists speak as though there's nothing to be concerned about. They say everything was above board and that Donald Trump should concede. This shows shocking naivete and delusion. Just remember what the Democrats and the leftists have done in the past. Look at the past. Look at the track record. Look at what they've doing. What they've been doing. It's all the proof you need. We've had just tiny little respite before the Senate runoff in January, and already you have Raffensperger's office and Fox News writing about the corruption that just carries on. We're into the next round. And truthfully, you know, if you've watched a little bit, I don't know if this is the case across the board, but the few clips that we hunt for each day, I've seen more and more from Fox News, and we know they were in on the plan, the conspiracy on election night. And since that time, I think there's a few commentators on that network that realize they were duped, and they're beginning to see there is a lot of evidence. And I've heard, I think, Martha McCallum say on two occasions with people she's interviewed, well, how come the Republicans how come they didn't anticipate this ahead of time? I mean, if there's so much of this going on, shouldn't they have been sort of tipped off months ahead of time? Well, President Trump was out there just sounding the alarm on mail-in balloting. And there's things behind the scenes, I suppose, we don't know that are going on. But initially, it's, no, nothing's wrong here. Or, all right, there's no evidence. And then, well, maybe there's a little bit of evidence, but it's not enough to overturn things. And, well, even if there is enough to overturn it, it's, you know, it's kind of too late. So shouldn't the Republicans have known more ahead of time? And people that are just willing to turn a blind eye to fraud, even the one, supposing the fraud that's happened, there's a lot of it. Supposing there's not enough to overturn the results. Has anyone been arrested yet? Because these are misdemeanors, and in a lot of cases, they're felonies. Has anyone been? It's the point my father made also in the recent article. Nobody gets punished. Nobody goes to jail. And so people just, oh, we've got a Senate runoff. Well, let's see if we can recruit some voters from New York. These are felonies. And I wonder what will happen from, you know, there's lots of tough talk now from Raffensperger. If it's about what's happening in the future, yeah, he's a tough Secretary of State. But if it's about the past, if it's about his performance or lack thereof following November 3rd, well, he's got to really attack President Trump's rhetoric. And same with his spokesperson, Gabriel Sterling. I wonder where Mr. Sterling was when that woman, you know, the one that was heading up the the transition and the argument over whether to get the funding to the Biden campaign. And President Trump finally said, just give him the money. This woman was being threatened. This woman just working at a government agency. She was being threatened by Biden supporters. You give him the money or we're coming after you. I wonder if Mr. Sterling ever gave a this has gone far enough speech for all of these other cases of intimidation and threatening violence. It is getting ramped up on both sides. There's no doubt about that. In this next clip, he talks about the media. And of course, they're all a part of the conspiracy as well. Clip 9.
The media knows this, but they don't want to report it. In fact, they outright refuse to even cover it because they know the result if they do. Even what I'm saying now will be demeaned and disparaged, but that's okay. I just keep on going forward because I'm representing 74 million people, and in fact, I'm also representing all of the people that didn't vote for me. The mail-in voting scam is the latest part of their four-year effort to overturn the results of the 2016 election. And it's been like living in hell. Our opponents have proven many times, again and again, that they will say and do anything to get back into power.
Very similar to what my father said in the Saving America piece from 2 years ago, that we're getting a hard look at just what the radical left is willing to do in order to seize power and stay in power. Newt Gingrich yesterday, he's on Fox News talking again about the media here and the propaganda that they're spewing out. And he said this, clip 5.
The propaganda media doesn't cover the news. Mm-hmm. The propaganda media spent 5 years trying to destroy Trump. They're not about to turn around and in any way help him. So they're not going to cover anything which would in any way threaten Joe Biden. That's just a fact. It's where we are as a country. And the question is whether the judicial system and the general public override the news media bias. The Constitution's very clear.
Yeah.
The state legislatures, not the governor, not the Secretary of State, not the judges, the state legislatures ultimately have control of all of these electors.
The media hates hearing this, but there are pathways. There definitely are pathways. There's lots of litigation going on right now. And of course, you even have these safety valves, the electors, the certification, the electors, and then it goes into Congress. The media just want November 7th to be the final determination. That's when they announced it. That's when they announced it. We'll have to prepare a montage from how excited they were on November 7th when they were patting themselves on the back. We got it. And the counting wasn't even over yet. There's still four House representatives races that are not finished a month on from the election. I wonder what's happening. They just happen to be in California and New York. You think they're hunting for ballots somewhere on these close races? Move ahead, Sam, to clip 12.
The fraud that we've collected in recent weeks is overwhelming, having to do with our election. Everyone is saying, wow, the evidence is overwhelming when they get to see it. But really, it's too late to change the course of an election. It's too late to change the outcome. In fact, there is still plenty of time to certify the correct winner of the election. And that's what we're fighting to do.
Still plenty of time, he says. I mentioned that point of composure, how that they seem to hold their composure fairly well, given that they're coming under such a fierce attack from the media, from Democrats, from everywhere. He said toward the end of his address, I had to skip a few of the clips, unfortunately, but here's what's at stake. And again, you can see just how closely this aligns with what we've written at The Trumpet, clip 15.
If we don't root out the fraud, the tremendous and horrible fraud that's taken place in our 2020 election, we don't have a country anymore.
We don't have a country anymore. My father said back in that 2018 piece that many people, including me, believe it would have meant an end to our constitutional republic, that if Hillary Clinton had won in 2016. And now you see just how close we are to destroying our constitutional republic. Well, that's President Trump from yesterday. I'll just refer you to my father's latest, the one that's going out in the January issue, the one that we're advertising on Newsmax, and other sites. The exact title, something about Donald Trump will remain president. You've seen the title. That's all we have time for on today's show. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to email the program, tdkpcg.fm. Thanks for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.